Yes, I. This song is called Be the Change, inspired by the words of Mahatma Gandhi, who lived for peace and not violence, and told us to be the change we wish to see in the world.
Have you been overcome with an irresistible urge to wash your potato? Have you looked out at the world and really trying to figure out what's going on? Well, you've come to the right place. You've come to the 100th Monkey Radio with Tom and Ramon. Oh, tonight, Ramon is a little bit under the weather. Tonight, we have a returning guest, Amelia Benz. I don't really need to do too much of a bio on her because I'm sure everybody listening is well-versed with Amelia's material. And we're going to poke around and see what we can find out for we're going to do a little bit of comparison and see what we've done last year and what we've got coming up next year in a lot of different areas. So how are you doing tonight, Amelia?
Doing good. Thank you. Oh, thank you for having me back.
Oh, absolutely. It's our pleasure. So I kind of want to start off with something that I really noticed here this in the last year with the things that are going out in the, let's say, the mass media circles, all the shadow fears that are being thrown around just left and right and that are fizzling out to be nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the purpose behind these things?
I honestly think that they're things that they're trying to do. They actually did try to carry those things out, but it didn't work out because the collective wasn't agreeing with it. So it did fizzle out into nothing. So now they're trying to bring in things that they can have power over, like the new laws and things to oppress people. And that just brings fear again into anybody who's even slightly awake, and also into the general population. So basically the game is fear. Keep the people in fear, and they can't wake up, they can't move past that, they can't evolve.
Right. So you're probably referring to that, what was it, the S-1867?
Right.
Yeah, isn't that something? And right off the bat, I am a suspect because I'm missing a finger.
It's
like,
yeah.
Gotta be crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
So we've had a really interesting year this last year. I kind of wanted to recap some of the things that have happened, like energetically. I mean, I know that you're very sensitive to the different energies that have been coming in. What did we experience in this last year?
There were, let me see, two main time, space, areas that I really felt huge changes happening. One of them was in August, when there was a definite shift, like a splitting of the world kind of thing, where everybody who has chosen to have a more empowered reality experience as a human being has decided to do so, and there's millions of people waking up and moving into that space. And the ones that want to continue with their evolutionary journey, being asleep and being manipulated by others, as you know, giving their power away to others, whether they are the human beings or other beings or a deity of some kind, they're moving on. And that's fine. There's no judgment on either of them. They're just as good. They're both good paths. They're just not longer compatible with each other. They can't coexist any longer, particularly because the people who have moved into their more empowered selves are really going out there and manifesting, and that completely clashes with the reality of somebody who believes they live in a very solid world where everything comes out to them and has to happen to them. So that was the main one that I felt in August. And the second one was in October, when I felt the final moving into the final kind of gelling of the new paradigm. And all I can say is that I'm very excited. I think it's brilliant. And I'm really, really looking forward to the next few years. So, as you know, I don't know if you remember, I'm booked until 2017. So I'm really, you know, glad that things have moved on and moved along very nicely.
Right, right. Yeah, it has been quite a ride, I'll tell you what. Is there any quantifiable way that we can gauge this as far as we were 70% at the beginning of last year, and at right now we're at, say, 80%, and or anything like that that we can kind of quantify it? Maybe get their mind wrapped around it, how far we've come vibrationally in the last year.
One of the sure signs is how desperate the other side is. It's like an animal dying and lashing out and trying everything to stay alive, but it won't work. This is like a galactic, you know, like universal of happening. You can't really stop it with a few negative actions. Also, if you do any type of search on awakening or ascension or anything, even the word anonymous, if you do anything like that on any search engine on the internet, you'll find thousands, if not millions, of pages come up. That means that there are thousands and millions of people out there who put those pages up, right?
Right.
And there has never been so many people awake that we have, you know, in like the history that we are taught before, right? So that's very quantifiable. You can see everywhere. You can hear things like words that you wouldn't even hear in the regular life, like in stores or whatever you, schools or whatever you are, things like manifestation or karma or subtle bodies, things like that. You know, you can hear them in the stores now and you go, whoa, that's crazy. That's fabulous, you know. And yeah, so it's basically very much like that. And how do we quantify where we are personally? I would say, how afraid are you? Is there anything that makes you afraid still? Then process it. Process it, you know, and then you will move past that. And how easily and how well are you going into synchronicities, and how much are you manifesting into your life? And then you know how well you're doing. Right. Because it's all about each of us doing that type of new reality. It's about living it.
Exactly, exactly. So do you see any major vibrational shifts coming in the next year?
Yeah, I see. I can never really tell time-space very well. You know, I can't give you a date. This is going to happen in this date and whatever. But things are heating up very nicely. And I think that within the next 2 years, I don't know if it's 1 year or two, and I could be wrong that because, like I said, my time space is totally off. I do see us going into the stars and connecting with our cousins out there.
Right.
And definitely our children will be, you know, citizens of, you know, many planets. It's not just this one. And that's very exciting too. And I don't know how we're going to do it. Maybe we'll go back to our original abilities as a species, be able to teleport. And I know people who can actually teleport physically to other locations. I can't do it yet, but I'm working on it.
As more and more of that stuff pops up, that collective consciousness and the 100th monkey effect and all that
absolutely
stuff kicking in.
Yes.
And
yes.
As soon as one gets something, that vibration spreads, and someone else gets it, then someone
exactly
else gets it, and it snowballs.
Yeah. And the first thing I would say, if you get any kind of, haha, you can't do that type of stuff, is to actually just imagine, even dream it, like have a daydream where you can actually do it. And the more of us daydream ourselves doing these things, the faster we're going to pull it into the collective reality.
Right.
Just like we pulled in airplanes and cars and free energy and all those things. We pulled them in. because more and more people are willing to daydream them.
Yeah. I've been daydreaming about a real peaceful resolution to the turmoil going on right now. I've been picturing such a smooth transition with everything. So we know we're changing. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't like the word New World Order.
Right.
And because it has such negative connotations right now, especially in the genres that we travel in.
Uh-huh.
But we're going into a New World Order, whether we like it or not.
Right.
The only thing we have to do is decide what that actually looks like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do that others choose for us, or do we choose for ourselves and take on an active role in the creation of our own future? You know.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you, and also believe that as more of us go into that space, and actually we have come into that space, because I think that probably every person who's listening to this show incarnated on the planet to make it easier for the humanity to shift into the new reality on a smooth, easy baby step way, and not just be catapulted through horrible happenings and losing most of the population or whatever. I really think that the majority of the people who incarnated from different dimensions, different planets, and from Source are here because of that. I mean, the shift was going to happen either way, but it's just to make it that much easier, better, and also to be able to facilitate for the majority of the collective, the human collective, to be able to make that evolutionary jump.
Yeah. So what kind of things are people doing to assist in that jump and assist in the growth of our fellow beings?
There's several things that I've seen. One of them, and the one that my personal mission is about, is raising the vibration of the planet, which is done in two ways. One of them is by processing your fears, first of all, and then processing anything that triggers you in a negative way. This will take care of your ego and everything else. And then this is the personal work. When you work on yourself, you're actually working on the collective too. And then doing the same for the collective, doing things, processing reactions that you have about wars or fear when you see a nation in fear, going to join that nation and at an energy level and process that fear. And the more we do it and the more we gather into groups or whatever, we gather temporarily because there are no organizations anymore, then we do whatever it is that is needed, and it raises the vibrational level of the planet. That's one way. Another way that I've seen is that many people here, that probably, again, many of the people who are listening, channel higher vibrations directly into the planet, and that's all they have to do. They just have to stay alive as long as they can, channeling all that positive, what would we label as positive and higher vibration, into the collective by just bringing it in. Just bring it in and bring it in into this reality. That's two ways. And of course, there's the actual other people who are organizing movements. And I can't even call them movements anymore. You know, I'm thinking of Anonymous and all these young, because it was the young generation who started them, and they don't have a leader, they don't have an organization, they don't have an agenda or anything. They just see something that they know, and we all know is shouldn't be happening at a social level, and all of a sudden they do something about it. They organize themselves in the streets, or they organize themselves on the internet using network things like Twitter and Facebook or whatever. And, of course, you know, there's other people who are taking advantage of those things, and they're trying to organize, and they're trying to get them into one website, whatever, but that's not going to work.
Yeah, that's a collective effort.
Yes, it is. And also, the other thing, that which is what we're doing right now, is sharing information. And like I was saying about the websites as well, we're all here and we're sharing information. We're talking about this. You're doing the show, you know, other people are doing shows. And it's just to put it out there so that more people can have, once they start waking up, they can have access to that information, or if they're awake, to have that validation and also to know that they're not alone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Okay, so last year we talked about firewalls a little, or our last show back in April, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about firewalls, and could you briefly recap what firewalls offer for new listeners? And then I'd like to know if you've seen any changes in the firewalls that you've seen in others, and has it been getting easier to break through, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the firewalls are like energy constructs that are either in the physical body or in the field, the more subtle bodies around the physical that a person has, that prevent them from doing something. For example, prevent them from meditating, which I think is extremely important to meditate and silence one's mind at least 20 minutes a day, prevents them from processing their fear, for example, prevents them from having a wider awareness, prevents them from moving into a more content or happy and state, like base vibration in their life. Stops them from manifesting wealth and well-being at a physical level and environmental level. And these firewalls are just like programs that are stuck, energy programs that are stuck in either physical body or the energy bodies. And it's very easy to find them. All you have to do is, okay, have something trigger the firewall, and it could be, I can't find this frigging firewall. That's a firewall, that's one. So you say, okay, where's that feeling of I can't find it? And you scan your physical body, you scan your energy bodies, and you'll get it. You'll find it somewhere in there. It could be a feeling in your throat, it could be something in your chest, or it could be just a tingling, it could be an emotion, something, and you just sit with it. You don't try to get rid of it. You sit with it, you allow it to be there. You look at it, and then you start, you ask it if it wants to express, and then you thank any, you don't analyze, because that's the mind. But if the mind starts analyzing, you thank the mind for analyzing, and then just continue sitting with it, and then you embrace it with light and love. Because then you free, because that energy was actually enslaved in your body once it was put there, by either by yourself or by others. And then when you free it, it's literally freeing that energy back to source.
Right. So have you seen, what kind of changes have you seen in the last year?
In others? Yeah, I have seen, because the years before it was very, it had a lot to do with things that the person couldn't do. For example, I can't meditate, or I can't manifest, or whatever, or I can't have psychic dreams or whatever like that, right? The person wanted to do and it couldn't. It was very, very black and white. By the end of this year, I've noticed that they come in, or their people are processing at another level, which is the wanting, right? They're wanting something and becoming obsessed with something, distracted by something. And that can be a firewall as well. Somebody gets distracted by, for example, wanting to find the one, or trying, like their soulmate or whatever. And everything else goes out the window because that's all they're obsessed about. And that can be a firewall. That's something that's triggered and takes the person's attention away from what they really would make them really happy in life. And other things that I've seen people starting to work with are addictions, like physical addictions and things like that too. And it works really well with those. And so that would be the more subtle thing that I've seen, and also I've found the energy of the people I've seen is more sharp. It's more warrior like. They're going in there and processing, and they're going in there and looking for this, and it's not so. They're really taking responsibility for it.
Right. They're starting to see it.
I'm sorry?
They're seeing it.
Yeah.
They see the process. When you start, when you really recognize the process and the patterns that are within the processes and the different issues, the patterns that are within the different issues, it becomes so much easier to recognize them, to at least pull them out for examination type thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say examination, just be with it and allow it to exist. Because if you examine, then you're using your mind. Once you start using your mind, you can go into a really deep hole.
Good point.
Yeah.
So I kind of see that what I've seen with firewalls and people that I work with is it seems like they're thinning in a way, that they're becoming easier to see, number one, and easier to just dissolve and take care of for people.
Yes, definitely. I think it is.
Part of the veil lifting at this time.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and another change that I've seen, I could say about a year ago that there were very few men who were prepared to process their stuff, at least that I knew or that were coming into my environment. They very much like the more intellectual articles and stuff on my website. And now I'm seeing that it's like 50-50 men are going in there and processing like hell. You know, it's like, it's really great. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
Excellent.
I've been doing a lot of process. This last year has been absolutely amazing. There's so much that's gone on.
Yeah.
So much changing all the way around. Yeah. So let's go on another topic here real quick. This has to do with the ego. And, you know, I've come across some material here in the last few months that talk about getting rid of the ego or dissolving the ego to be able to go through the ascension process. I don't. It doesn't sit quite right with me because I kind of see the ego as an essential asset that we have on this planet. Where are you at? Where are you at with the ego and overcoming it?
Well, I think that the ego, like you said, is one of the subtle bodies that are absolutely necessary to exist as a human being. You can't get rid of your ego. And I don't know anybody, no matter how enlightened, who has got rid of their ego now. The difference being that there's a healthy ego and an unhealthy ego, right? Because the ego does have a role and it has a healthy role. But once it becomes, the ego is overstimulated in our society for a reason. Because the ego is basically there for our survival, to make sure we stay alive at a physical level. And to keep our integrity intact. However, when you overload it with fear and then overload it with self-importance, it all goes bananas and the ego takes over, basically, and you have a very unhealthy ego. Mm. So I would say yes, but process your ego. But what I found, I had a fascinating conversation recently with my sister-in-law, Loreto Alonso Alegre, who's a light worker, who's been working and a healer who works very hard in Spain. And we had a chat about the ego. And she, in one of the things that came up was that the first stage, because I mean, the exercise that I do again is like, look for the ego, where is it, you know? And she gave a much simpler thing, says, you know, when your ego pops up, you just have to become very aware when you're walking around. Whenever you feel anything that makes you feel less than somebody or more than somebody, that's a really easy exercise. Lesser than somebody when you're judging, right?
Right.
When we judge, and then you immediately look at that judgment, because that's you're going to be your ego, and it's always based in fear. And then the little dots came together for me. If we process our fear, eventually we process that unhealthy ego. And we clean it, basically. We make it a healthy ego. It's no longer based on fear, and it's no longer based on self-importance.
I've been seeing recently, I've been sort of, it's this isn't 100%, but I've been kind of seeing the ego body as a almost a separate consciousness besides, I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe this. I'm almost seeing it as a separate entity from my higher self, my spirit.
Yes, it is, yes. And the physical body is also a different consciousness expression.
Right. Well, that's it right there. I'm feeling and sensing a completely separate consciousness within that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's an interesting experience, interesting sensation. Yeah. So, let's see where to go with this. Now, you've also talked about a little bit about our DNA and the different places in the world, in the cosmos that our DNA comes from. I'm curious, is there a dominant strand that is on the planet?
That's a really interesting question. I've never looked at it that way. When I, just at a physical level, the human species is very much has a lot of earthly DNA, in that we're mammals, and we have when we're in vitro, when we're inside the womb, we go through a reptilian stage. So there's those two definitely, then the way that I see it though is like the physical body, I totally believe, has been created for a specific role, evolutionary role, and it's not a natural evolutionary creation. I do believe it has been put together by other species using different DNA. But at a physical level, definitely there's a lot of it is from here, from the planet.
So I'm really intrigued by the whole DNA thing and the way things are changing right now. And I just would think, and probably somewhere it's happening, that there would be some spiritually conscious scientists out there who have access to the equipment to do DNA tests to be monitoring whether or not there are changes happening right now to our physical DNA with all the different the different influxes of different energies that are yes. have been bombarding us in the last year.
Yeah, that would be really interesting to see if somebody can actually validate it at a physical level, wouldn't it? That would be awesome. But I think it's also you would need a multidimensional tool to be able to do it, because the tools that we have can only measure the physical aspects of the DNA.
Right.
Like our DNA is multidimensional. So, and I think that the changes that a person goes through at the DNA level is very, very, very reflective of the changes that they go through at an awareness level. Basically, when our awareness expands, we don't stop seeing the things as, like, for example, if our awareness expands to encompass, let's see it like a looking, like a viewpoint. Say you're in a room and you have your hands in front of your eyes, you can only see the palms of your hands. But if you take those hands away, you see the entire room. Now, that doesn't mean that you no longer see the palms of your hands. You can have them right in front of you and you see them, and you can see the room. You can see both,
right?
And that's the like expansion of awareness is very much that way. We can still see the physical world. We can still see like the people and everything here, but we can also experience other senses, other things, and our viewpoint is still much larger than it used to be. And at a physical level, a DNA level, I think it's very much the same way, that we don't get rid of the physical part of the DNA just because we move or we trigger or we become aware of or we become start using the other multidimensional aspects of our DNA. And I think that what we were talking about, or I was talking about earlier about teleportation, for example, is that expansion of DNA use. We are able to grab our DNA, physical and otherwise, and move it to another point in the planet. You know? So it's no longer like a solid, or it's more pliable, and I'm pretty sure we're soon going to be seeing And I've seen it in two cases, although they were newborn babies, of people changing their appearance, right? Mm-hmm. They were newborn babies, so I don't know if it happens when people are older. One of them went from being blonde and blue-eyed to being dark and brown hair.
Wow.
And the other one went from having very, very dark skin and hair and eyes to being white and having, like, brown hair. Wow. Right? So it wasn't that, oh, yeah, babies change within the first few days. Their color comes in and stuff, because it was totally opposites, right?
Wow.
And funnily enough, one was the father of the other. Like, you know, when the first one was a baby, he changed. And then when his baby grew, was born as an adult, then that one changed, you know? So DNA is extremely flexible, and the fact that we see it as inflexible, or our physical bodies as not flexible, that's the illusion, because we're just made of energy particles, if you can talk about it like that. You know, even our cells are being changed continuously. We don't have the physical cells that today as we had years ago, right? We have a completely new body. So why do we keep our scars, for example? Why do we stay the one size, physical size? Why do we keep the same color of hair? It's not logical, right? It's really not logical to have that solidity. And as we move into the more expanded awareness at a biological level and a DNA level, we'll be able to have that flexibility, I think. And even moving through different dimensions, we'll be able to do that too. And it's not something that is that far out, because, I don't know, I mean, I've heard of people throughout the ages who have been able to teleport and to go through walls and, you know, do all sorts of things with their bodies.
Yeah. Well, I know, and it's through the astral projection stuff that I've done, and I'm working on getting back into that. I kind of let it go by the side for quite a while here. But just getting out into those other dimensions with your consciousness.
Absolutely.
Takes the full awareness that, dogs, yay. brings a full awareness that we are something besides the physical body, and that we are that energy. And bring that back. Astral projection is absolutely amazing, because you take this consciousness, your full consciousness, out into the dimensional planes, and it's just there's nothing like it.
I know, it's awesome.
Experience in my whole life, there's been absolutely nothing close to it.
Yeah, it's really awesome.
For bringing home to the heart the fact that yes, we are energy. Our consciousness is the core, you know, and everything else is just a manifestation for the consciousness.
Yeah. And then we move the next step and take our bodies as well.
That's right. That is the next step. I mean, we learn that through the projecting the consciousness out of the body, and we really like this place here. This is a fun place. I mean, physical reality. It's
still
something cool to do.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
So why not do what we can to make this place something that's worth doing stuff in, instead of always looking over our shoulders while we're here?
And that's a really good point there. We're looking over our shoulder means fear, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's fear-based. Yep. And one of the things that I was thinking or looking at is one of the things, for example, from my own physical body, because I've been working on this recently, when I say, okay, let's go teleport to such and such a place, there's physical fear. I'm going to get stuck there. You know, it's like, how will I get back? You know, things like that, really simple little things. And our bodies are like horses. You know, we have to treat them really gently and train them to do new tricks. You know, and it's very simple. But it's the fear. We have to work with that, the physical fear of these things, so we can do all the fun stuff.
Yeah, fear. I'll go back to where I started at the start of the show, with all the shadows that are being thrown out there to generate fear. I know I use my own personal exercises for creating that loving detachment within myself, where I can witness this stuff and not let it affect my energetic body primarily. Try to keep the quote unquote worry or fear out of it. What are some of your best methods for? I know that you do a good processing thing, but there seems like there's something else there that in relation to fear in dealing with them that's being missed here.
Well, that's the thing. It's so simple. I actually go into it. I allow it to express fully, because I found just looking at it or detaching from it kind of doesn't actually deal with it fully. So what I do is I allow it to express. I allow the fear to manifest completely, and allow it. Fear, you're welcome here, and allow it to exist. And then I infuse it with light and love and embrace it back into oneness, which is us. And for me, that works much better. It really moves things really quickly, very quickly.
So I suppose, but it depends. Would it also depend on the magnitude of the fear?
I think that if it's a lot of fear, something that's really terrifying the person, they should do it in baby steps. Definitely, do it a little bit every day, because it's not going to just go away, especially if it's something that's long standing. Right. So do it a little bit every day and, follow your instinct, follow your guidance, your personal inner guidance. I want to do a little bit today and a little bit tomorrow. And then if it gets too much, just tone it down.
No, we talked about firewalls and the fears that they actually are. Can any of these things be entity-based?
Do you mean by third-party entities?
Third-party entities that are creating the firewalls or that are creating I'm talking about attachment-type things or...
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible that does happen. However, it's really important that if somebody feels that that's their case, to realize that the agreement has to be there from the person for those entities to do those things. So this has to be an agreement, whether the agreement is I'm afraid of you so you can do stuff to me. It could be that. That could be the agreement. Thinking that negative entities are there to teach us lessons so that we agree with them, to teach us lessons. It could be all sorts of things, but nothing can happen to a person without their agreement. That's one of the rules of this matrix. Nothing can happen to a being, a person, any sentient being, without their personal agreement. So look at it that way. Take back that power. Take back the power. Take back the responsibility, ability to respond, and you're home free.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. I guess what I'm seeing is looking out there, and I'm seeing the big pile of fear that's being generated out there from different things, and I guess I'm kind of getting frustrated in a sense at watching so many people take this stuff hook, line, and sinker and drum up all sorts of negative energy around themselves, then it goes poof.
The collective is addicted to drama. So any fear-based thing will kind of spread like wildfire. It's very addictive. So the person, if somebody is in fear, they really should process that fear. But obviously some people don't know how to do that. And the media and the alternative media will be used to spread fear, because that's the only weapon that the other side have, really. Fear and stopping people from realizing that they have to agree with things before they can happen in their life, right?
Yeah.
Both individually and as a collective. But yeah, it can get very frustrating, but at the same time, we have to honor the fact that we can't dictate how the collective goes, how it goes, how easy the transition is going to be. We can't dictate it. We can facilitate it to go easy to our best of our ability, but at the end of the day, it's going to be a collective choice, and we have to honor that, right? For the collective and for others, we have to honor it.
Right. So do you see this as a Where do you stand with free will? Is I know that we've talked about the agreements that we have when we come in here. Does that kind of supersede free will? And where do you see our free will comes into play here? What latitude do we have with it?
Well, I think that it's part and parcel of agreement, right? And every sentient being, again, every sentient being on the planet and out of the planet has free will. And I'm saying that over and over because I've had contact with individuals from who believe themselves to be non-human and very dark, who believe they have no free will, who believe that they were born into families or whatever, that genetically or energetically or as a species, they cannot have free will. And that's a con. They've been conned. Every sentient being has free will. And how does that join with agreement? It's actually the same thing. Because when we have the free will, for example, to go and shoot somebody on the head, but if we go up to the person and go and put our guns against their head, if the person doesn't agree with it at a very basic level, a very base level, we can't do it. Somehow we don't do it, right? So it's both the person that's doing their thing and the person who's receiving it. They both have free will, but it can't violate the other. To say, okay, so the person who doesn't agree with being shot in the head, is that person violating the other's free will? Well, there has to be an agreement. Or it can't happen, right?
So do we have predestined events?
I believe there are junctions in our lives that are very likely to happen. But when they do happen, we do have a choice and how we react and if we allow it to happen. I do believe there's a couple of things that I know from my personal experience that there have been times in my life when I've been given the choice to leave. To leave the body and to leave the mission, be done with whatever right. aspect of the mission was at the time. And but I've always been given the choice. I've always been, okay, you're done. Would you like to stay or we do need somebody to do X, Y, and Z now? And it'll be great if you can do it. Or would you like to leave now? And it's always been really interesting stuff, so I stayed. And but there's always a choice. There's always a choice. So whenever we meet one of those junctions in our lives, and there's many of them, we choose either to stay or leave. Whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, we still choose. And the other one, for example, an event that happened when I was about 10 years old, I was in Argentina at the time, and I'd had a recurring dream where I was walking with my mom and some horrible things happen in a city. But I had these dreams years earlier when I still lived in Chile as an infant and then as a young child and then as even up to when it happened, I had this recurring dream of this thing happening. And I used to explain it to my mom as the best that I could. And she kept saying, it's just a bad dream. It's just a bad dream. But lo and behold, it actually happened in real life. And because I'd had that dream over and over, I didn't allow the thing to happen. Basically, when we were in Chile, there was a military coup. So my mom took us, snuck us out of Chile. My two siblings and myself and her left and went to Argentina. Unfortunately, in 1976, there was a military coup there. And she was obviously placed on one of the wanted lists. And somebody gave her away basically in the store, and some special forces guys came into the store, and in my dream they actually took her, and that was the end of that life because I ran out in panic and got run over by a car. And but in real life, when I saw the store and I saw the person who was calling the guys, and I just started screaming, and got my mom and wouldn't let her out of my sight. I was holding onto her leg so tight. Wouldn't let her. And when the guys walked into the store, I started screaming and screaming. I said, it's them. They're the bad guys. And everybody just stopped. The whole store stopped and stared at them. And they because they work in the shadows, they looked at everybody and walked out, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And that changed that timeline completely. But it was an event that was going to happen, and it did. So, and sometimes it's like that. Sometimes, obviously, not everybody has those type of dreams, but sometimes we just know, okay, maybe I shouldn't take the car now, maybe whatever, you know? It's just one of those little decisions and we change it.
I just stand in awe of the complexity and the simplicity all in one of the way the universe orchestrates all these lives and different events and different the way our lives, our paths cross at specific times, and how if something happens unexpected in a certain timeline, they have a way to cover that base, so to say, and make sure that the event comes off. The complexity is amazing.
It is, yes. It's fascinating.
It is.
And like you said, this is a very interesting game at a physical level. It's fascinating.
Yeah. The butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So for our new listeners here, I know you've given this explanation quite a few times, but would you briefly explain what makes you unique in this world, relatively unique, in relation to the soul, higher self, the reincarnational cycle, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes. The main difference between myself and the majority of the human species is that, but I'm most likely, you know, I actually know that I'm not unique, is that in this experience, I mean, is that I don't have an evolutionary trajectory either before this lifetime or afterwards. My physical body has had a trajectory and will continue to have one, but myself as the being doesn't. And basically, so there's other people like me on the planet right now, working away in the shadows, in silence, unless they're asked to go public, which I was, and now I'm working at a public level. But most people wouldn't be. But I also found some historical figures or in history that also have that nature. Mm. Basically, we don't have any attachment to evolution or to personal. We don't have any personal importance, sense of importance or survival even.
Right.
Because we're not really like that soul construct. The only way I can describe it, I'm more like a job that's here to be done. It's like I identify very much with raising the vibrational level of the planet, and that's it. It's like a horse with blinkers. You know?
Right.
I can't see anything else. And Inelia Benz is not important. She's irrelevant. Her life is irrelevant. Whatever happens in this life that I've lived, I'm 45 years old. It's always has had something to do with what I'm here to do. If I have an experience or have emotions or whatever, I learn about it. And then it's about another person who needed those experiences and I needed to know how to respond. If obviously being on the planet, being a human being, having a physical body has meant that I've had to have the human journey experience on this lifetime. But there's no importance on it. There's literally no importance. It's irrelevant, completely irrelevant to the actual job. And it's really hard to for others to understand the level of non-importance as a person or a being or a singularity I have, because I've had to adapt. I honestly, in my entire life, I've never met anybody who could understand it. It's like, how could you not care, you know, if such and such happens? Of course I care, but it's not important. You know, it's like, right. How do you differentiate? I really don't know. But, and also, funnily enough, I actually don't have an attachment to the planet raising its vibration. You know, it's like, yeah, I'd like to be successful as this one lifetime, for it to be successful and to the whole species to move on to the next reality experience. I would love that to happen, but if it doesn't, then whatever, you know, it's like, I'll be gone. It doesn't really matter, you know, it's really odd in that sense. I understand that it's odd because I've had people tell me many, many times. but I would say that that's the main difference. And in a way, it makes things a lot easier for me because I don't get distracted very easily.
Right.
I don't get distracted with finding a soulmate because I don't have one. I don't get distracted personal evolution because what you see is what you get, and it's too bad because this is it. You know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not like getting any wiser or anything. This is what's going to be. And anything that I learn, obviously I do learn because I'm a human person, it's all concentrated on how to make the job more efficient.
Right.
It's nothing to do with me personally, you know. It's always, how can I make it more efficient? If I can do this, then I can help others. All right, let's try it. And I experiment with myself. I try different things. And if they work, I go out and tell people. And if they don't work, I go, okay, let's try something else, you know. No attachment whatsoever. It's a lot of fun, once it's gone, it's gone. That's the main difference, I would say. There's no non-attachment to anything, really, apart from raising the vibrational level on the planet. And even if that happens, it really doesn't really matter. So
you said that the physical body has a reincarnational cycle. Do you experience any of the memories that physical body retain?
Yes, I have experienced memories that come up for the physical body. And I think one of the ways in which a person can differentiate whether an experience or a trauma is their own as a being or it's part of the physical body trajectory is because the physical body expresses it differently. When we go into a trauma or an experience in a previous lifetime, whether positive or negative, that the being has had, it's always kind of outside of the body. And also it's very kind of mental. You can see things and you can hear words. You will have an expression of it that's different to when the body does. When the body experiences it, you can actually feel it in the body. I had once a memory of being bitten on the leg by a snake, and I've never, in this lifetime, never had that happen. But the body was just like, went into fear. It had, but it didn't say I'm afraid. It just expressed it in different ways, and it showed me the image of the snake biting my leg. You know, it actually expressed it in a different way. And bodies and animals express in different ways, and trees express in a different way. It's very feel type thing. It's a very expression rather than it's an experience. They express by experience. They share an experience, right? Rather than say, for example, I was trying to find out what a tree was that I had in my yard. It was a really beautiful tree, and the way it expressed to me what it was, it made me into that fruit. I was all of a sudden that fruit. So that's how it was expressing. It didn't say, hey, I'm a pear tree. You know? Right. It didn't express it. It was different. Mm. So that's how bodies and other, like, trees and animals express by sharing that experience. So, yeah, my body, for example, is afraid of spiders. It's not so bad now because I have been processing it a little bit. But if a spider started crawling on my face, I can tell you, I'll scream and run out of the door. My body will bolt, you know, completely. Yeah. It just would not sit still.
Mm. Interesting stuff. So, okay, well, I've got time for one more question before we're done with the first hour here on BBS. And I figured I'd ask a question from one of our listeners. Anna, this is for you. And I will try to read this and make the most sense as I can, but her natural language is not English, so.
Okay.
Not limited to the physical or astral or causal universe, if there are physical and spiritual attributes in a being, what's the difference between these two essences for a hybrid and a human?
I don't really understand the question either.
Okay, she was just saying, not limited to the physical, causal, or astral universes.
Mm-hmm.
She's going, if there are are physical and spiritual attributes within a being, and each being has a physical manifestation and a soul or spirit, What's the difference between the essences of a hybrid and a humanoid? In other words, are they asking, she's asking, does the hybrid have the same spirit and physical expression also?
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, the way that I see it is, for example, there's millions of people and probably a lot of listeners who did not have an evolutionary journey on the planet, on this planet. They had it in another planet or another dimension. However, as a singular soul construct, they can enter a human body and become a human being, right? As through birth, a natural progression from their planet or their dimension to this one. And that's they continue their evolutionary process here on this planet. So, but with regards to hybrid, somebody who has more alien or ultra-dimensional genetic material in their physical manifestation than a regular human being, that person, what I have seen, I have actually seen a few who have a more subtle, the genetic material has been mixed with their physical, their human genetic material, so that their physical body is lighter, because their soul construct is so light that if they went into a regular human soul body, it would burn it up. Mm. Basically, its vibration is too, it would clash.
Right.
So the body wouldn't survive; it would die. And so that's what I see as a. I've seen those type of hybrids. I can't really talk about, for example, maybe she's talking about like the Greys and people like that.
I think that's what she's pointing towards.
I think so. When I tapped into the question, that's I got a mini image of a Grey.
Right.
And I honestly, you know, if a being has a soul construct, they have free will and they have an evolutionary journey. Even if they're completely covered in firewalls telling them that they're just a drone and they're not really real, okay?
Right.
Now, there are artificial intelligence and artificial beings who don't have a soul construct, but that's completely different. It's like when I went to a, it's like the physical material, like metals and stuff, I have had in my hand a piece of material that came from somewhere else. And when I put it in my hand, all I could feel from it, and it felt very similar to sentient life expression, ready for orders, you know,
right.
What do we want us to do? What do you want us to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a technology that will come into our species probably quite soon. I mean, there's people who say that technology already exists in the human species, just being kept secret from us,
right.
Where the person, the being, can connect with their technology at a very direct level and move through time space with that technology directly because of the way it's been made, right? It's very, very similar, but it's not quite the same. It's not an evolutionary kind of soul expression.
Right.
But I don't know how else to say it, you know.
Okay.
I have.
We're running out of time.
Okay.
So, during the break, if you think of anything else to say on the matter, we can bring it up in the second hour.
Sure.
Where can people get a hold of your material, your books, and your website and stuff?
Yeah, the tools and the fear processing exercise full text is there too in the tool section. It's ascension101.com.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here tonight. And after Brooks is done, why don't you pop over to the website and check out the second hour with Anelia. I am going to go into pick her brain on what she has sensed and experienced and stuff from our off-world friends and relatives. So we'll talk to you guys in the member section. Condemnation without investigation, and the love you deny is the pain you carry. Love you guys.